KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, it's partly cloudy and 73 degrees. We look for skies to be sunny here today with a high around 99. Good afternoon, morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. In Western Iowa news, authorities say a Harlan woman was sighted last Sunday after her dog allegedly bit a Harlan woman. According to the Harlan Police Department, 50-year-old Teresa Wells was sighted for allowing a dog to run at large and for failure to license a dog. She was also sighted after her animal allegedly bit Becky Jones of Harlan. The incident reportedly occurred in the 100 block of Market Street. Wells' dog was quarantined at the City of Harlan Atlanta, Animal Shelter. KJAN News time is 8:01.
Great sermon, huh? Really got me thinking.
Oh, I guess I missed it, but then again, I have a hard time hearing the pastor.
Really? You sit in the second row.
Well, you know, I...
Yes, I do know. I used to struggle, just like you're saying. But I finally went to go see Doug Leonard and had my hearing tested. Found out there was a good reason I couldn't hear the sermons.
How often do you leave your Sunday services and not have any idea of what the minister said? Or sit through an important meeting and go away wondering what you were supposed to learn for your job? The problem could be that you have a hearing loss. This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. For most patients, hearing loss is usually something that takes place over time, and you don't realize it's happening until you find yourself struggling to hear things that are important to you. Quit struggling. Call and schedule an evaluation today. ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Manning, Ottawa, and Carroll.
I only wish I had gone sooner.
Officials of Southwest 8 Senior Services, a member of the Iowa Association of Area Agencies on Aging, say that they're seeking passionate, engaged citizens who care about the needs of older Iowans to join their advocacy team. The organization is in need of volunteer advocates in Southwest Iowa who live in or near the newly designated Iowa House districts and Senate districts to help Southwest 8 communicate with candidates and elected officials about issues that affect Iowa's seniors. They say it's a great opportunity for any older Iowan, a family caregiver of an older Iowan, or any Iowa resident who cares about the care and support of Iowa's elderly population. An advocacy training session will be held Tuesday, August 21st at 1:30 p.m. at Southwest 8 Senior Services, located in Council Bluffs. To register for the training or to learn more about the opportunity to engage in the legislative process, you can call Kelly Butts at Southwest 8 Senior Services at area code 712-328-2540 or toll free at 800-432-9209, extension 1013. As the summer winds down, the hustle and bustle of families falling back into schoolwork and routines will begin. The American Red Cross is taking this time to remind eligible donors to add Help Save Lives to your list of activities. Officials say at least 3 extra donors are needed at all August blood drives, above what's currently expected. The donors are critically needed in order for the Red Cross to readily meet hospital and patient needs this month and into the coming fall. While eligible donors can give blood every 56 days, the average donor gives blood less than 2 times per year. You can call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcrossblood.org to make an appointment or for more information. All blood types are needed, and a blood donor card or 2 other forms of identification are needed at check-in. Donors must be at least 17 years of age or older, 16 with parental permission in some states. They need to weigh at least 110 pounds and generally be in good health. There is a list of upcoming blood donation opportunities on our website under this same story under the news tab at KJAN.com, but here are just a few of them. In Adair County, the blood drive will be held August 22nd from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Orient Maxburg High School. Here in Cass County, there are 2 drives scheduled this month, August 16th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Central Church of Christ in Griswold, and August 23rd from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Wesley Heritage House here in Atlantic. In Montgomery, a blood drive will be held August 22nd from 11:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. at the Stanton Fire Station, and August 24th from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Montgomery County Hospital. In Pottawatomie County, there are several sites during the month that will be holding blood drives, including on August the 30th in Macedonia from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the DeWitt Community Building, and in Shelby County from noon until 6 p.m. on August 23rd at the Portsmouth Community Center. Atlantic Police Chief Steve Green said yesterday that anyone interested in bow hunting within the city limits of Atlantic for the hunting year 2012-2013 can receive the necessary permit applications at the police department during normal business hours, which are 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. The permit will allow you to harvest antlerless deer only. Green said the permit applications need to be picked up and filled out prior to qualification tryouts, which will be held 10 a.m. August 18th and 6 p.m. August 22nd at Sunnyside Park by the old schoolhouse. Also, landowners who would like to allow bow hunters to hunt on their land should call the police department at 243-3512 during normal business hours and sign up. The hunt is allowed under the city's Urban Deer Control Ordinance. Elsewhere in Western Iowa news, a 38-year-old Sioux City man has pleaded guilty to sexually exploiting a child. Federal prosecutors say Dana Gleaves was convicted after he made his plea in U.S. District Court in Sioux City on Thursday. Gleaves faces a mandatory minimum of 15 years and a maximum of 30 years in prison. Court documents say Gleaves traded remote-controlled vehicles and plastic models to a 14-year-old boy in exchange for nude photos of the boy. The documents also say Gleaves took several cell phone photos of the nude boy and recorded the boy performing a sex act. Wells Enterprises Incorporated is seeking capital to become the leader in the nation's ice cream industry. The family-owned company, which is based in Lamar's in northwest Iowa, will celebrate its 100th anniversary next year. Wells plans to raise capital to grow the business and become the number one ice cream maker by the year 2020. The company said in a statement that the process of raising money for growth is expected to be completed by the end of the year. The company makes Blue Bunny ice cream and frozen novelties at two facilities in Lamar's and an ice cream plant in St. George, Utah. Wells is currently the nation's third largest ice cream maker behind Switzerland-based Nestle and London-based Unilever. Interstate Power and Light Company says it plans to seek regulatory approval to build a new natural gas-powered electricity generation plant in eastern Iowa's Marshalltown. The plant, expected to cost between $650 million and $750 million, won't become operational before mid-2017. The announcement was made Thursday by Alliant Energy Group, Interstate Power's parent company. Construction can't begin until after regulatory approval is granted, and that's expected by the end of 2014. The plant is one part of the company's long-term plan to meet electricity demands of its Iowa and Minnesota customers. Interstate Power also plans to seek regulatory approval to purchase electricity from NextEra Energy Resources, which operates the state's only nuclear power plant. State regulators are expected to make a decision on that application by early next year. Iowa's Republican governor blames a bunch of East Coast people on Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney's campaign for getting Romney to expose tax credits for the wind energy industry. Radio Iowa's O.K. Henderson reports.
Governor Terry Branstad says he wants to educate Romney about the value of the wind energy production tax credit. The credit is set to expire at the end of the year. The Romney campaign website lumps windmills in with solar power as examples of the failure of green energy products to make a profit or make a significant contribution to the country's energy supply. That wording, particularly that reference to windmills rather than wind turbines, angers Branstad.
They don't understand. You got a bunch of people that have put that website together that are a bunch of East Coast people that need to get out here in the real world and find out what's really going on.
About 7,000 Iowans have jobs in the wind energy industry. More than 200 companies in Iowa are involved in making the blades, towers, and engine parts and in maintaining the nearly 3,000 wind turbines that are operating in the state today. I'm O.K. Henderson.
Mitt Romney's campaign has not responded to a request for comments on Branstad's remarks. A bill that cleared the U.S. Senate Finance Committee Thursday would extend both wind energy production tax credits. Senator Grassley was one of two Republican senators on the committee who supported the bill. All the Democrats on the panel voted for it. And the Federal Emergency Management Agency is siding with the University of Iowa over its efforts to rebuild from the 2008 flood. Federal auditors have questioned FEMA's commitment that federal funds pay to replace damaged music and art buildings. The report said the buildings should be repaired, not relocated and replaced, because they were salvageable under federal rules. The report also said the project should be suspended and funds promised should be diverted to a better use. FEMA Administrator Craig Fugate on Thursday said the agency is standing with the university on the disagreement. Iowa's governor and congressional delegation are urging Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano to support FEMA's decision. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, the latest jobs numbers are offering a hopeful sign after 3 months of sluggish hiring. U.S. employers added 163,000 jobs in July, but the unemployment rate rose to 8.3% from 8.2% in June. July's hiring was the best since February. Still, the economy has added an average of 151,000 jobs a month this year. That's roughly the same as last year's pace. It's not enough to satisfy the 12.8 million Americans who are unemployed. The UN General Assembly is expecting to vote today on a resolution denouncing Syria for attacking its citizens in Aleppo and Damascus. Meanwhile, in Damascus, at least 21 people were killed as regime forces and rebels clashed in the southern outskirts of the city. Activists say mortars struck a crowded marketplace in a Palestinian refugee camp. The commander of Iran's elite Revolutionary Guard says the biggest threat to Iran is a soft war launched by its enemies. Soft war usually refers to measures like economic sanctions. The West has tightened sanctions to force Iran to stop enriching uranium because it suspects Tehran might be developing a nuclear weapon or two. And a couple from eastern Ohio has been indicted for allegedly forcing their children into plastic storage boxes as a form of punishment. The prosecutor said the couple used duct tape to seal their three children inside the plastic storage containers, which had a hole cut in the top for air. The children, ages 5, 7, and 8, have been staying with other family members. I'll have a check of your funeral announcements coming up next. KJAN News Time is 8:11.
Great sermon, huh? Really got me thinking.
Oh, I guess I missed it, but then again, I have a hard time hearing the pastor.
Really? You sit in the second row?
Well, you know, I...
Yes, I do know. I used to struggle, just like you're saying. But I finally went to go see Doug Leonard and had my hearing tested. Found out there was a good reason I couldn't hear the sermons.
How often do you leave your Sunday services and not have any idea of what the minister said? Or sit through an important meeting and go away wondering what you were supposed to learn for your job? The problem could be that you have a hearing loss. This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. For most patients, hearing loss is usually something that takes place over time, and you don't realize it's happening until you find yourself struggling to hear things that are important to you. Quit struggling. Call and schedule an evaluation today. ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Manning, Ottawa, and Carroll.
I only wish I had gone sooner.
In our funeral announcements this morning, Mary Ann Fazer, age 93, of Erling, died Sunday. Funeral services for Mary Ann Fazer will be held today at 10 o'clock at the Little Flower Haven Nursing Home in Erling. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Rita Mary Kramer Clucky, age 86, of Cascade and formerly of Defiance, died Sunday. Funeral services for Rita Clucky will be this morning at 10:30 at St. Matthias Parish in Cascade. The Rife Funeral Home in Cascade is in charge of the arrangements. Joseph Dimmig, age 86, of Atlantic, died Monday at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Funeral services for Joseph Dimmig will be Saturday at 10:30 at the St. Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care of Atlantic has arrangements. Donna Ruddy Walp, age 70, of Audubon and formerly of Marble, North Carolina, died Monday at the Exira Care Center. Funeral services for Donna Walp will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the First Presbyterian Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Velda Cole, age 94, of Greenfield, died July the 23rd in Austin, Minnesota. Memorial services for Velda Cole will be Saturday at 11 o'clock at the Greenfield United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Lona Fleming, age 81, of Atlantic, died Monday at the Atlantic Nursing and Rehab Center. Services for Lona Fleming will be held tomorrow at 2 o'clock at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Harold Adamson, age 102, of Greenfield, died Tuesday at the Greenfield Manor. Funeral services for Harold Adamson will be held Saturday at 3:30 at the United Methodist Church in Greenfield, with the Steen Funeral Home of Greenfield in charge of arrangements. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield is also in charge of arrangements for Evelyn Urbus, age 95, of Greenfield, who passed away Wednesday at the Greenfield Manor. Funeral services for Evelyn Urbus will be held on Monday at 10:30 at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Greenfield. And Linda Jensen, age 68, of Greenfield, died Thursday at the Good Samaritan Center in Fontenelle. Services for Linda Jensen are currently pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle. Our news and funeral announcements were brought to you this hour by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments, at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen, KJAN News.